Yeah, Jason, you definitely aren't feeling good.
Yeah, no, I'm still getting used to that intro. It's like with that last bit, I'm looking at the studio and I'm not seeing a timeout or anything. I actually kind of watched the timeout of last time I played it or whatever, so I kind of knew when to cut in. But it's Sunday night, folks. I see there's the chat room is some folks in there, and you were listening to the Ooze. We're going to get back to, I guess, our take action discussion after having an interesting interview with EA Coetting last weekend. That was last weekend, right?
Oh, God, I hope so. Otherwise, I'm missing the weekend.
So, yeah, you're probably in the same boat. If I sound a little funny, I'm a little off tonight. I'm feeling a little funny tonight. Not sure what's going around, but I was good enough to tattoo tonight, so I thought I should be good enough to do the episode. So here we are. Kind of wanted to talk a little bit about what's going on with the Occupy movement. I find it interesting that early on with this movement, it was kind of being ignored. It was being ignored by the media. It was being ignored by the powers that be. They figured, a bunch of hippies, a bunch of kooks who want to go ahead and take over a city block, not a big deal. And then as this thing started to catch on, the city government started to have come up with these different contingency plans. But their thinking was obviously, well, they'll be in the park for a week or a few days. They're not going to do this 24/7. You know, they're going to have to understand there's certain rules. There's going to be certain regulations, everything else. And when we tell these people to move on, we've had our fill with their bullshit. Well, then we'll tell them to move on, and that'll be the end of it. And now what we're seeing is that, and it's happening in different ways in different cities. We're seeing that the governments, the powers that be, are going, okay, we're tired of this now. We've had our fill. Enough's enough. You people have to move. And in places like Oakland, the response has turned violent. And and it just draws more attention to what these folks are doing. And here in Austin, they had a round of arrests last week. Something like 40 or 50 people got arrested and banned from the public square, from the city hall, for just loitering. Basically, they got busted for loitering. And you got a couple hundred people down there loitering, basically. So. They're talking about letting back on and everything else, but it's also just obviously a ploy to get these people to move along. So I kind of wanted to get people's thoughts on that, on where they see this thing going. The call-in number is 347-989-1371. And if that doesn't interest you, if you've got an idea, something you want to talk about, something you want to bring up, give us a call, and we'll talk about whatever you got on your brain. How's it going with you, man? What's been going on?
Shit, man. I'm just been getting ready for my big appointment tomorrow. Tomorrow, hopefully, I make a major stride in progress towards my future. And, I get to take a long trip down to my vocational rehabilitation appointment to basically begin planning my attendance of tattoo school. So I'm fucking kind of psyched up about that. Been doing some work around the house, getting some shit fixed. Snapped the throttle cable on my motorcycle this week. So, I came to find out that my redneck engineering hasn't failed me. I still know how to do that. I managed to wire the throttle cable out of the side of the motorcycle long enough so that I could pull on it and get some throttle going long enough to go home. It's kind of tricky riding with one hand and yanking on this fucking metal cable without any gloves, but I got home, one piece, did a wheelie crossing one of the major fucking roads, but whatever, it's all good. It's not like when you're turning the throttle on the handlebars, man. There's a little bit of precision to it. With the fucking string, you yank too hard, that's it. You're going.
Go ahead.
Go for it, man.
I was going to say, you sent a piece of artwork over to me. I think it's just kind of mind-blowing that the way you're going about becoming a tattoo artist. For me, it was, you know, going to different shops, talking shit, doing a bunch of artwork, interviewing and going through the whole thing. You're actually getting the government to pay for your classes, which is just mind-blowing, you know, that the government's going to pony up for you becoming a tattoo artist. But I say go for it. You know, go milk that shit for everything it's worth. So it's kind of cool that you need to go down to this vocational school and show some bureaucrats, basically, some hacks, some people in suits, and you can draw, right? And what I think is funny about that is that, you know, as far as tattooing is concerned, what I've learned speaking to a number of people who've been in the industry for decades, you know, people who own shops, drawing is not a requirement in tattooing. There are a lot of tattoo artists who cannot draw. So you're going to get down there, you're going to show some artwork to these guys, and they're going to go, cool, you're good to go. They're going to sign off. But yeah, I think it's badass that I like the artwork that you guys you're gonna be showing to them, and I think it just kind of kicks ass the whole trip, man.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, man. It's just one more way for me to fucking suck a little bit of the resources out of this motherfucker, and at the same time get what I want. So
right on.
I'm down for that, definitely. A little commentary, man, as far as this. This Occupy movement's going. I really think the politicians have not yet come to the full gravity of the situation. They got their fucking hands really full, man, because it's not like you can just go down there and go, all right, give me a list of your demands and we'll see what we can do. You know, everybody's unhappy about just about every fucking thing. And some people want to kind of, you know, narrow it down to this logical construct that it's because the 99% are, you know, not getting their fair share of the pie or whatever, and the 1% are, you know, using the government to make it so that they don't have to give them their fair share of the pie. I think it's America, and not just America, but the world waking up to realize that this shit just is not designed to procure happiness for anybody. I mean, even, you know, I used to laugh growing up, man, at that old thing, you know, everybody was poor fucking striving to make money because they thought that was what was going to make them happy. But then you look and all these rich people are committing suicide, or people who become instantly wealthy. I can think of Kurt Cobain. I can think of Elvis Presley. I can think of a numerous number of people who are became extremely wealthy just kind of overnight and found that they just weren't any more happy by it. So I'm chuckling because we still think that we want that piece of the pie, and I just don't think that's ever going to, you know, it's never going to cure the itch. We need to kind of come to this realization that we don't get along in big groups, you know, the cliques. You know, they never really die. They just change. You know, in high school, you had the cheerleaders, the fucking jocks, the skaters, whatever the little cliques are here and there. And then when you become an adult, fuck, you know, you got the bankers, the lawyers, the judges, the cops. They all click off like that. They click off by what their occupation is. You know, they're normally drawn to that type of occupation because typically they have a certain line of thinking all in common. So they've kind of done this clanning on their own. The problem is that when you can't make a living doing what you want to do, you know, then, you know, you're forced to take a job doing something else. And that ultimately makes mankind very fucking cranky.
Right. And yeah, it's exactly what you're saying. I think that these politicians, they don't realize what a hot potato this thing is. I mean, you got people talking about right now about how the Occupy movement may have been instigated by some, you know, liberal, you know, political machine, that there may have been, you know, maybe some organization to its structure or whatever. You know, I've been down to this thing. even if there was some sort of organized kernel, if the germ of this was an organized or, you know, a concentrated effort by some, you know, some liberal organization, it doesn't fucking matter. Just like you said, they've got all kinds of people down there asking for all kinds of things. And it's, you know, if it was a controlled sort of chaos before, it's no longer that. And what we've got going on, I think, when you talk about, you know, you're talking about wealth and everything. I mean, you got NBA players right now who are on who basically are striking. They can't settle on a contract. So you hear these stories about these guys who were signed up for millions of dollars, you know, handed hundreds of thousands of dollars up front. You know, they haven't done shit. They haven't touched a basketball on television yet. They've already gotten thousands of dollars. And they're moving back in with their mom and dad and filing bankruptcy. So it's exactly what you're saying. It's that, you know, that money is not the route to happiness, although, you know, it's nice to be able to rent it every once in a while. But I think that what we got going on with this Occupy movement is that you've got people who have woken up, like you've said, and realized that, I mean, let's just for the simplicity of numbers, you got 100 motherfuckers in a room, and one guy is the one telling everybody what to do. And, you know, he's got his network and everything out, you know, out there, but he's the one guy who's actually telling people what to do. And maybe a century ago, maybe two centuries ago, when we voted for somebody like him, you know, the 100 people in that room felt like they were actually participating. They made a rational choice in going with that form of government and making that one guy the head man. But then this guy is the descendant of that type of person. You know, he might not be a direct heir, but he comes from the same kind of money. He comes from the same kind of network, you know. These people, this one person who's in power, he comes from a long chain of people who broker power. And the other 99 people have woke up and said, why is this guy telling us what to do? He doesn't have a good fucking idea, and he's telling most of us, you know, most of his, you know, you people keep doing what you're doing and just obey the rules. That's his main job. So, you know, people are saying we can fucking keep doing what we're doing and obey the rules without some clown in a suit telling us what to do and benefiting from our labor. So, I'm wondering, though, especially as it gets colder, I'm hearing different things. As it gets colder, of course, they're expecting the New York Occupy movement will kind of dwindle off. They've already had different stories talking about how these guys, they got a bunch of tents, you know, in that square in New York. But they've done like a thermal scans of the tents and everything overnight, and they've seen that most of them are empty. So, you know, well, that makes sense. If you don't all have to be there, if you just have to be there during the day, well, then that's the way you do it. But they're expecting that to dwindle off toward through the winter. But people are predicting that come the spring, this thing is going to start really kicking people in the ass. That the shit you're seeing in Oakland is going to become the model. It's not going to be the abnormality anymore. It's going to be the norm for these movements to get violent, to occupy not just, you know, public property, but actually walk into buildings and take that shit over. You know, it's their police station. These are their weapons. It's the people's shit. So, go ahead.
Oh, I got to tell you, given what I understand about human nature, it's not going to be spring that we're waiting for. It's going to be the first moment that one of these fucking gorillas down there gets the bright idea that all you got to do is light something on fire. And, well, hell, since Walmart over there is part of the problem, that'll put up a pretty good fucking fire. So
Right. It'll get warm quick.
get warm real quick, so... they may think that they're going to wait them out and everybody's going to go wandering off into their houses to, you know, kind of hibernate for the winter or whatever. But most of these folks, you know, they're frustrated, man. And then it's not going to make a difference if they're spending the winter out and, you know, out in the park or in their own home. They don't have the money to pay their power bill anyway.
Right on. And I'm wondering if people, if these things, if they really coalesce, if they really start to solidify, if they'll start becoming not just something to do to voice your political view, not just a means to engage the system, a different venue for engaging the system. I'm wondering if it'll become a, you know, you haven't made it in their process. Come down to here where we are at, And we, you know, we have food, we have shelter, and we have a gainful employment. It's a new society. And it's, you know, we're going to grow from the inside out of this, you know, this corpse society that we're dealing, that we're living in. And you're going to be given another opportunity. Go ahead.
I'm not sure if you're suggesting that a company is going to figure this out, or if you're saying that people are finally going to go, wait a minute, you know, fucking, if we start putting people up, you know, we can actually make this a prosperous thing rather than a deteriorative thing.
Right. I think the movements, the Occupy movement, if they were to sit there and say, you know, you've got nothing else to do, you've got nothing else going on, come down here. And, you know, like you said, you don't have the money to pay your light bill anymore. Well, we've got heat. You know, we got the fucking internet. Come on down here. You know, we'll hook it up. We'll make something happen. We're done trying to deal with these people. We're going to start doing things our way. And what do you do? What do you do when you got 300, 400, 500 people or more at one time, you know, doing something like that? You know, your police force, it can only be so large. I remember the movie The Warriors from back in the 70s. And one of the things they wanted to do to promote that movie is they actually looked up the statistics that of the number of people who consider themselves members of gangs in New York versus the number of police officers. And what they wanted to put in the poster was the line, and I forget what the line was or what the statistics were, but they, you know, there was a line in the movie where they talk about how there's only, let's say, 30,000 police officers in the city of New York. There's 300,000 people who consider themselves members of gangs. And then when you're outnumbered, you know, 100-1, or, you know, then it's time to wake up that these people that think they're in control of them are not. And the city actually had to go to the production company and say, hey, man, don't put that on your posters, because – you might be giving somebody some ideas. You might, you know, make somebody think, hey, wait a second, it's true. I'm just kind of waiting for the Occupy movement to have that moment of clarity where they go, wait a second, do we need to convince these people to do what we want, or can we just do the shit ourselves?
I think that's how it all starts, man. I mean, I'm thinking back to that book, Animal Farm. It's one of my favorites, you know. And, you know, the animals kind of figured out that the farmer wasn't doing anything anyways. He was getting drunk and passing out in the bed. They were still doing all the work anyhow.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Right on. And it's just what it is. It's exactly what it is.
And so I expect it's going to be sheer chaos in a matter of no time. Things like this begin to deteriorate very quickly. And, I mean, we all know Oakland's already got a history of rioting and violence, so, you know, it's probably going to get worse there first. I saw something online, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but some commentary in regard to the mayor of New York being a little sharper than the guy running Oakland, and that he was, you know, trying to find some plausible solution to getting these people off his yard, so to speak. But again, you run into that whole thing of, it's not like you can go down there and get a list of demands and appease them. The demands are vast. They're just unbelievable. There are people down there who simply want to see the government go away, and that's their demand. So how do you meet that?
Right. The call-in number is 347-989-1371. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on the Occupy movement, what you think might be down the pipe as far as the Occupy movement is concerned, or anything else you might want to talk about. I don't know that this particular topic is going to carry us for 2 hours. Give us a call.
On a side note, there does seem to be this overbearing air of hostility lately. I'm seeing it manifest in all kinds of different places. I made a little bit of commentary yesterday on the Primus Mano edition that Lehigh saved because Jason King jumped out. But anyway, I made this comment yesterday. The front page of Sin over the past couple of days has looked like a war zone, and it's been really interesting to see different personalities who are philosophically similar yet so extremely different or vastly different, actually begin to clash off. And it makes me wonder if this kind of air carries through and it goes, goes a little more viral. What will happen with these people who are all down there protesting? Are they, going to all wake up and realize, wait a minute, you're an asshole because you want this and I want that? And I mean, I really think it all breaks down to, again, the fact that man is not meant to live in mass species. These megalo societies that we've developed are just, they're collapsing under their own weight.
Right, definitely. When it comes to human experience, when it comes to social norms, social gathering, and all that, there's no such thing as one size fits all. I mean, it's why we have different governments. It's why we have different nations and different philosophies and different cultures. And what our societies have been moving towards for the last several decades is a kind of homogenizing of cultures, of national identities. You don't have different countries in Europe anymore. You have the European Union. Here in the United States, we're trying to make sure that we understand there's really no difference between us and Canada and Mexico. South America is really all one big conglomerate. That's not true. In South America, there's striking divergences in governments and cultural styles and things like that. But the mentality they're trying to push is like, no, we're all one people. We're all the same. We can all, we all get along. And no, the fuck we do. We do not get along. And it will be a matter of, you see this, I think the conflict you're talking about, the different things you're seeing here, is that people are sensing a momentum shift, that people are sensing that this kind of, this rush towards homogenization of the human experience has a violent reaction. That violent reaction is people waking up going, wait a second, no, I don't want to be the same as everybody else. I don't want to be counted amongst these people, who want everything to be the same for everyone. They want everything to be equal. They want everything to be fair. So people are turning around and going, and fighting this. So we got a caller on the line. Let me go ahead and bring the caller up here. All right. Hey, man, you're on the news. What's on your brain?
Daryl probably isn't getting his Skype working right. Daryl. Wiggle that mic.
Daryl, dude, can you hear it?
Yeah, he sometimes has a little difficulty with Skype.
You want me to leave him? You want me to leave him sitting there with an open mic until he gets his shit figured out?
Yeah, I think that's the best thing. He'll chime in when he gets it ready.
Right on.
We'll get something like a, can you hear me now?
Right on.
Go
ahead.
I was just going to say, Morgan in the chat room actually makes a pretty assailant point. And she's pointing out the MTV TV mixed culture identity is responsible for a lot of what's going on now in terms of people's frustration. I mean, it's not something you can isolate as being the sole catalyst, so to speak, but it's certainly that whole mixing of cultural identity. I mean, I think it's ridiculous. We're different for a reason, and as a species, I think that we've always kind of embraced these differences.
Well, it's like the people, the powers that be, want to kind of make it our lives a one-stop shop, basically, where you get whatever it is you're going to do, whatever it is you're going to be, whatever ideas you're going to have, you're all going to pick these different ideas from the same trough. So it'd be like going to Walmart to try to figure out who you are or whatever. That, you know, you're going to go to the big box store, and then it's going to be the limits. I mean, the options we have are so narrow. The parameters we have to live within are so narrow. And we recognize, you know, people who read history, who study philosophy, recognize that there are other options, that there are other possibilities, other paths to explore. And the tighter the parameters become, the greater the resistance will be to those restrictions. And so that's what I think I see going on right now, which is, I mean, it's a good thing, I think, because although the change will be explosive, it will be violent, it will be change. So, you know, it's just pushing on, soldiering on, having the strength of will to want to be part of that, you know, that change, rather than just kind of watching it happen or hoping that somebody else does it. And in the meanwhile, you're doing, you know, whatever it is you're told.
Right on. Right on.
Not yet.
Yeah, you're there, man.
Wow.
We like clicked unmute like 5 or 10 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah. It was it's a cam slash Skype issue I'm having.
Let me guess, you're running, what the fuck is it? You're running on Linux, aren't you?
Actually, I have a dual boot system. I'm on a Windows right now, but it tries to read a microphone that's not currently hooked up, and it doesn't want to read the mic on my cam for whatever reason. So I had to go in and manually tell it what to do.
All right. So what's on your brain, dude?
Too damn much. I don't have a specific point. When Jason said that you couldn't fill an hour and call in with whatever else, I thought I'd just kind of put myself on standby.
Right on.
I'm sure I can formulate opinions about something.
What do you
think? I know you've been... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask him, what's he see coming down the tunnel?
Pertaining to the Occupy or what?
You could start with pertaining to the Occupied, but if you need to move to a broader spectrum, that's fine.
Well, personally, and I'm not alone in the opinion, but and it's a very general opinion, but I kind of feel like the whole Occupy thing will really get underway once more people come together that actually know what the fuck they want. A lot of people, I think, flock to the protest, but if interviewed, they really don't know what the fuck they're doing there. You know what I mean?
Right on. Yeah, I get that a little bit, that they either want different things, so they're down there for different reasons, or they're just down there to be there. But you're going to get that in any movement, I think. You're going to get that. You're going to get people who, you know, I mean, we have joiners in, you know, in Satanism. You know, there's all kinds of people who, you know, that's what they want to be. They think it's cool. It sounds cool to do that. But yeah, as these different ideas coalesce, and especially as they start to see some gains, as they start to see some change, more and more people are going to see this as a viable way to make things happen. Whether it means changing the system or destroying the system or just ignoring the system completely and doing your own fucking thing, it's just going to be a matter of time. Well, you know, it's going to go down, basically, the way I see it.
Right. I think it just needs organization, a great deal of organization.
Right on. Well, real quick, guys, we got another caller on the air, so I'm going to go ahead and bring them on. 319, you're on the news. Really?
Wow.
So somebody watching porn while they're listening to the news. I mean, that's going to fuck you up, man. I mean, oh, they dropped the line. Oh, come back. No, don't run. Come back.
You know, we can
that's
call
too bad.
Back. Matter of fact, let me just go ahead and do that real quick. 319, you had something to say?
Hey, dude, the 319 area code. You're on mute, man. What's on your brain?
That's great. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and dox this phone number right now, and it'll be something fun to play with at 4 o'clock in the morning. You just fucked up.
Yeah, we should definitely keep a list of all the prank callers so that we can put them on a some sort of a post for, you know, general pranking in return.
Right.
Oh, yeah, or no, whenever we're short on show topics, we can just do a show where we spend time, you know, calling these folks.
Shit, we can make a show out of that.
Yeah, yeah. And they don't know we do shit like that all the time.
That's funny.
Anyways, I guess kind of an aside. One of my I saw some interesting shit going on online with some of my friends. Back when I was in the Army, all of us guys were young and, you know, getting married and everything else. And one of my friends, when he had actually joined up, he came out with his girlfriend. They got married right before he came over to Europe. And while I was, you know, while we were there and everything, she got pregnant, and they had a kid. And this, you know, this girl is about, this is my goddaughter, and she's a year younger than my daughter. And come to find out that she's like maybe 18. You know, she's a year older, so she's like 18. So come to find out that she just gave birth today to a little baby boy, and. Kind of freaking out about that a little bit, because you know, Jeremy, my friend, he's not even 40 years old yet, and he's a grandfather, and I'm thinking about my kid, man. The issues I'm having with her, and, you know, it's you know, fighting with her about her grades and, you know, what she's going to do as far as, you know, with her talents and everything else, but at least I'm not talking about her having a kid, so. It's just been weird, man. It's kind of been surreal.
Right on. Kids are a tricky thing, that's for sure, man. Should we even entertain this person again, or?
Bring him on, man. Bring him on.
All right. 319, you're on the news. What's up?
What's up?
What's okay. going on, man? What's on your brain?
I don't know, man.
It's just Troll Blog Talk radio shows for fun? Is that it?
No, man. I've done like 10 of them today. Probably more.
Yeah? I'll take it you're not working then, huh?
What do you mean?
you're watching porn and you're calling into internet radio shows. Your life. You're probably the most interesting guy in the room, right?
Yeah, that was a good one. You want to know the name of that one? You go, you porn, it's, forget her name. You want to know it or no?
Sure.
What's your name?
What's my name?
I mean,
Make some shit up, man. Come on.
Good.
Show us how clever you are, man. Make some shit up.
What are you talking about? What?
Good trolls, like, it's like, I can understand if you're a troll, but good trolls have like a net name they go by. Like, if you don't even have that, then you're not even a good troll.
I'm not trolling. I'm calling in and talking to you. I've said I already trolled.
What do you want to talk about, man? What are your thoughts on the Occupy movement, or what are you thinking about?
Slow down, man. What?
What are your thoughts about the Occupy movement, or what is it you're thinking about? You called in to talk to us?
They need to be unoccupied.
They need to be unoccupied.
Fuck yeah.
Why do you say that?
Because they're a bunch of bum fucks.
Okay. What do you find dumb about it?
Be, The whole fucking thing.
Look, man, you're not really giving us anything to go on here. I mean,
how aren't I? You put my area code in the chat. You ever heard of spoof card?
Have I ever heard of spoof card?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of a dox?
No.
No? Well, what a dox is where you get an IP address once you have a certain number of parameters, and that takes it right to your front door.
Are you going to come in and, like, molest me or something? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I'm just saying that it's not real bright just to use something like a spoof card. You'd be smarter to Skype in, and at least then you have, like, a 111111 number, and it makes it a little more difficult.
It's funny to see
I remember when I was in, like, eighth grade, I prank called my friend Dad, like, 40 times in a row with spoof card. He called the cops and they never got my number.
Yeah, but those are cops, man. You're not talking about somebody who works with computers professionally.
Well, they've already got people that work with computers professionally.
It's a government fucking agency, dude. They got people that barely graduated high school, got certified on some free website, came in an entry level. And all the hackers and people who are really good with computers are already making big bucks by that point.
You know, TC, the first place he went when you said that you were going to be able to track him down is he was wondering if you're going to come to his place and molest him. I think I figured this guy out. He's looking for a date.
That's possible. He's probably not my type, though. I like him big and burly like Jason.
It's all about him.
Yeah. I'm not gay.
No?
No.
Then why are you trolling Blog Talk Radio shows? That's pretty gay.
I don't know, man. It's Sunday night. What else is there?
What do you want, dude? How many bars did you eat?
How many what?
How many bars did you eat? Footballs, bars? I don't know.
Yeah. I bet. Man.
Hey, TC.
Yeah.
Would you believe I spent like 11 years that way, man?
You guys, you know what it's like when you're just having fun. Don't you call into the shows?
No, no, but we do call back people who call us. I mean, that's what we do for fun.
Why? I called you.
Right, but why? The same reason you called us. It's fun.
Yeah.
So we'll be having, I'm sure I'll be having some fun later on.
What are you going to do for fun?
I'll call you.
Oh, okay. I'll be here, probably.
We figured much.
So we're going to talk to each other from now on?
Sure, why not? You seem like
you promise you'll call me.
Oh,
you sound like a sharp dude. You got some salient things going on in your head, man.
I like to think so.
I bet.
I'll have to write some of this
down.
What
do you think at all?
You guys, what do you like to do?
But tonight we're talking about the Occupy movement and what's going on with the Occupy movement.
Fuck that shit. What else do you guys like to do?
Talk about the Occupy movement and what's going on with the Occupy movement. And you called into this show. You've been listening to the show. Here's what we're talking about. What you got to say about that?
I already said.
Oh, but you got to have more than that. I mean, you're a sharp guy, man. You sound like you're in the know. You sound like somebody who, you know, reads a couple of words every now and then.
I try. Well, I don't read books, really. It's pretty boring.
No, reading's hard, man. Reading's hard. Who has time for that shit, right?
It is. It is, really. Especially when you're
reading
damn chapter books.
Yeah. Wow.
Stop talking so fast. Oh, shit, man. You know what's on TV?
We've got no idea.
The day after tomorrow.
Oh, you better hurry up and catch it, dude.
No, man, I'm watching it right now.
Okay.
Hello? I'm watching it and talking to you.
Okay, well, we're not really interested. I saw the movie, I don't know, like maybe 8-9 years ago, whenever it first came out. I think Jason's probably seen it a couple of times.
You think you're too cool for it now or something?
No, my interest have just moved to something, I don't know, more interesting, more relevant.
Oh, like, you know, it's a good movie, Religious.
What did you just say?
Religious is a good movie.
Dude, I can't understand you. You have to take the cock out of your mouth and actually talk to the car or something.
Religious is a good movie.
Oh, so he did disengage from his boyfriend's penis and was able to speak to the phone. That's awesome. He can follow instructions.
Yeah, I can.
We know. That's why the occupied movement sucks.
What?
All right. Have a good evening, bro.
What?
Bless his heart.
Dude, I was getting high just talking to him. I swear
wow.
My IQ points just dropped like maybe 30 or 40.
What?
Yeah, shows cruising along. We're talking about politics. We're talking about social movements. We're talking about current events, and now we're gonna spend the next hour and a half talking about playing with our poo poo and everything else. We've become retarded.
just terrible. Well, that was a refreshing little break and reaffirmment for me that. In fact, the human species has made a genetic mutation. It got stupider.
Yeah. But the guy, I guess, he represents the type, if you know what I mean, what we're talking about. He represents that MTV, that Walmart mentality, that, you know, if it doesn't if it doesn't flash in the screen and change and cycle every 60 seconds, it's not going to hold his attention. That he's, you know, perfectly willing to be led and be told what to do and be told what his options are, and he considers that freedom. You know, he buys into this the idea that, you know, hey, he's got it under control. His life's his own life to live. Meanwhile, you know, he's living in his mom and dad's basement. He has to go to some shitty job, you know, flipping burgers or whatever. And, you know, it's the type, basically. And this is what I'm afraid of, is that this is the kind of thing that the powers that be would like to see all of us become. They would like to see every one of us, you know, have nothing better to do than troll websites and blog talk radio shows and watch porn, because at least that kind of behavior is predictable.
And relatively harmless, I think, is the other point. They can go to sleep in their $1 million shindigs and that.
Absolutely. If you're fucking with everybody else, if you're fucking with your neighbors, if you're fucking with people around you, well, you can't fuck with your government. You can't, you know, you can't actually make do anything that might be, you know, beneficial to you and to help break away from that whole cycle. You know, you'll be just. Yeah, I'm listening to myself echo, man.
Yeah, I think that might be Daryl. Hang on, Daryl. I'm going to mute you real quick to check to see if it's you. All right. Can you hear me? Am I echoing?
I don't hear you echoing now.
All right. I don't hear you echoing either.
Right on.
All right. Daryl, do you have a headset?
I'll have to grab it real quick.
Yeah, because your microphone's now picking up your speakers. Wow. I mean that really scares the shit out of me when I hear something. It doesn't scare me in that I would be able to hold my own against somebody like that. It more scares me in the idea of that there is the majority.
Right.
Yeah.
That's precisely the issue.
What's that?
I said that's precisely the issue. That, you know, because the majority are people who they don't want to be bothered with, you know, thinking for themselves, taking responsibility for themselves, having to put two thoughts together and forming an opinion. They don't want to deal with any of that. If they can't play it on the PS3, they don't want to deal with it.
It's just scary, man. Scary, 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 scary. I look at my 4-year-old and just shake my head going, I'm sorry, dude.
And it used to be, there was a time in this country where you could look at your child and you could look at these idiots that are floating around the streets and everything else, and you look at your kid and just go, you know what, if I make the right choices, if I instill the right values into my child, if I get the, make sure he's educated in a proper manner and he can think for himself, then my child is basically going to be telling those monkeys what to do. Now, no. My kids will be considered, you know, a pariah, an outcast, because they can think.
And that's the scary part, man. It almost makes almost takes the fun out of parenting, you know. I mean, it's amazing how many parents actually must just have stuck their kids in front of the boob tube and went to the bar.
No, they're at home, man. They're at home sitting in front of another television in another room. That's what's going on.
Right. I mean, anyway, so let's kind of get back to focused about this Occupy thing or something, because, I mean, that's a real buzzkill right there, just thinking to myself that... Yeah, that kind of thing is out there, driving cars.
Hey, did I fix the issue?
Yeah, man, I think I corrected it.
Cool.
Sounds good to me.
So, Tropic Momentum posted on that basically reflects because 99% is a bunch of mindless drones. I think that, yeah, you've got two different types of people out there that are either going to be like that guy who could give a shit, or they're the other side of the coin. They give a shit just enough to be dangerous. And my concern is that when you look at these Occupy movements, you see a lot of that. You see a lot of that, you know, that are down there. Just like we were saying, there are a lot of people down there who are just there to be there. It's just something to do. You know, they're there for kicks, man. They think it's going to be a good time to be hanging out down there. And I'm sure in a lot of ways they're probably right. But when you actually talk to them about, okay, what is it you want to accomplish? What is it you're hoping to do down here? You know, they don't know. I remember back when when President Obama was running for election, they had people on the streets talking to people about who were, you know, going to vote for this guy, or who had voted for him after the election was over. And they're like, why did you vote for this president? Because he's going to we're getting change. Well, what specifically, what issue, what thing did you vote? Well, because he's going to change things. So, you know, these people had no clue, and that's who you see being catered to, and it's a shell game, basically. The people that are in power, they recognize that if they can keep these people, the people that don't have a thought in their heads, tantalized by little shiny objects, and keep them happy, well, then they don't have to do shit. They're not beholden to anybody. They can do whatever the hell they want. Because we, the people, are so distracted that we aren't paying attention.
Ridiculous. And I really wonder, I mean, is it a genetically disposed thing? That, I mean, you're just born that stupid? Or is it really a product of environment?
You know, I wish I could say it was genetic, man, because you can do something about genetics. I'd have to say it's programming. I'd have to say that it's learned behavior. that, you know, animals as they are, most animals are predisposed to whatever, getting the most possible benefit through the least possible expenditure of energy. So when you've got a species that develops a banner behavior that caters to that, you end up having two different, I think we have a divergence in our species based on behavior. You've got people who are aware or have some awareness, who I would still refer to as human beings. And then you have these machines, these, you know, these urge-driven animals who they don't have a thought in their head. So whichever way the cattle prop tells them to go, that's where they're going.
Right. Now, keep in mind they also have 26-inch rims with spinners, and that's on a Daewoo.
Right. And they live in the ghetto. There's more the total value of the customization and accessories on their mom's Civic is worth more than their home.
Yeah, I think that really right there outlines a lot of the problem is people not being able to prioritize, at least not
right.
In a rational fashion. You know, you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and you look at the levels that are set out, and though I don't agree with every place that he has everything positioned, it at least gives you some kind of structure as to, you know, what things you need to put in priority. And those priorities are all fucked up.
Well, yeah. It's like you said, it's like you were saying at the beginning of the show about wealth. You got these people that right now the Occupy movement is interested in having a fair piece of the pie, a fair shot at the golden ring, whatever that is. Without realizing that if they have a shot at the pie, it's because somebody else gave them a shot at the pie. If they have their chance at the golden ring, it's because somebody else gave it to them. And instead of just taking that shit, instead of saying, I don't need your fucking pie, I don't need your fucking golden ring. And that's always blowing my mind about these special interest groups. As an artist, I can't tell you how many times I've seen art shows where you've got a women's art show or an African-American's art show where it's not one artist, it's a group of artists, but what it's doing is that the local gallery or the city is pulling in all these different artists who come from a small segment of the population. And they're featuring their artwork. That's all fine and good, but it also suggests that these people, without this opportunity, would not have their artwork presented to the world, that they wouldn't have that option. And when you got people screaming for equality, it just always blows my mind. We want to be treated equal by these people. We want equality from these people without recognizing that what they're saying in essence is that I'm not equal as I am. I have to have that equality handed to me from you. So it means that the equality that I'm asking for is an illusion. It's a facade, that the equality doesn't really exist. As long as you treat me like I'm equal, that should be good enough. And that's bullshit.
Yeah, it is bullshit. I mean, it's basically, it's fucking coddling people, and it goes against everything that's natural as far as I'm concerned. You know, it used to be that people were fucking, you know, they built their empires on their fucking sweat and tears. And now they just are born into that empire and they get to learn a few circus tricks to, you know, keep it going. So hopefully somebody in the genetic line down the road will come along with brains again and build it up a little more.
Can I throw something out there?
Yeah.
Just a thought. What do you guys think of the? I mean, you acknowledge that that some people to a certain extent are simply programmed, and that kind of people that don't have that higher level of independent thought, we're looking at that as being the problem. But anywhere you have a program, you have a programmer, and they would need to be on an equal playing field with ourselves or somewhere in the same vicinity of ourselves. What What do the two of you think on that particular level?
You know, I would sit there and say that at one time, you may have had somebody who had a level of awareness to initiate the program, that you had somebody who developed the system, developed the process. And I would argue that their intent wasn't malicious, that their intent was actually maybe benign, that they thought the system they were establishing was the best possible system for the time, for the people they were dealing with, that maybe they expected most people to think for themselves. They didn't expect the system to basically encompass everybody's entire life. So they established this system, they programmed this system, but those people are long gone. And now what you have, you don't have people who are developing the program. You don't have people that are creating new programs. You've just got managers. You got people who are themselves part of that same program. They're just fulfilling a different role than the rest of us. That it's that whole the thing I was saying earlier about how you got that one guy who he comes from a chain of suits, basically. He's part of a long line, a long tradition of leaders, of political hacks. And he's so far removed from the original innovators that it's pathetic. So he has no right or title other than his lineage to his position. I mean, look at these presidents we've had. All but one of our presidents wasn't related to the King John of England. You know,
right.
They're all, even though they come from different families, they come from different places in the country, they all still come from a particular culture that's separate and distinct from what the rest of us experience. But, yeah, I would say that, you know, the powers that be, the people that run the show, they're as programmed and engaged in that process as any of these other people. As a matter of fact, Gurdjieff points out, I think it was either Gurdjieff or Spensky that pointed out that you've got people who are awake and you've got people that are asleep, but there is one tier below the people who are asleep, and there are people who are dead. And the dead tend to be these high-level politicians because their lives aren't their own anymore. Their identity is not their own anymore. They are defined by the role they've been selected to fulfill.
Right. Just to offer something up of mild contrast to what you're saying, Jason, it seems to me that if there are existent programmers at this point, that they certainly aren't working in unison. They're, you know, programming from one particular respect, and it's kind of overlapping and building off of ideas other people are offering at that point in time as well. So I think this is why you get a lot of the, ethically and occupationally challenged people is, they're trying to pull from too many different influences. These influences aren't, in fact, synchronized at all.
Right.
On. Right.
I like the analogy. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to point out that the way our system's set up now, any one of us can be a programmer. Any one of us can engage that reality program, that social program, and get involved in it. I look at people like Anton Long, the Order of Nine Angles, who not only talked about a different program, he's talking about a different operating system to use to stay within the same, analogy. And that's
right.
Maybe what we should be thinking about. It's not just a new program. Right, it's not just a new program or tweaking the program, it's a new operating system that we need to engage in.
Right, well, that was the analogy I was going to bring up. I like that particular analogy of mimetic freeware or shareware, if you will. But
right
the difference is, it's not being forced on anyone. The whole Occupy thing, regardless of their position or existence within that particular software, that software, so to speak, is being forced on everyone. Whereas
mm-hmm.
that the shareware in question is independent.
Right on. And I think that's the thing that I see an issue or take issue with the Occupy movement. that they're still engaged in that system. They're still trying to find a solution within those parameters when they could just do for themselves.
Yeah, I'd like to also point out that not only are they still looking for solutions within those parameters, but they're using the whatever you want to call it, the rules or regulations of that system as a method of trying to change it. It's like trying to paint the outside of the box with the lid closed and you inside it.
Well, I'm glad you say that, man, because I could never get that point across. I did a blog on that where I said I posed the question, if you protest according to approved standards, is that a protest? And I got a lot of grief for that because people didn't understand it, but it was exactly that I was trying to express.
Right on. Well, obviously, I agree with that.
Right. You can't fight the system at the same time be part of that system. You have to disengage from the system first. And then you're attacking the system because your concern is that the system will find a way to reabsorb you back into it. So, yeah, these people out there that are, you know, they're claiming to fight the system. Well, no, you've elected to peacefully gather in public areas when you're making sure that you behave within certain parameters, or recognizing the consequence of your violating these laws will result in you spending the night in prison, and that will be part of your martyrdom, basically. So, yeah, it's still using the same system. It's still using the same process. Again, Anton Law, I'm throwing his name back out there because that's what I'm reading right now. His ideas are basically, you know, fuck all that. Fuck their limitations, fuck their rules, fuck their way of doing things. Now, once you're able to have the mentality where you're able to go, I am disengaged from that, then you slip back in. Now, the fucking movie The Matrix, you know, you slide back in, you look and walk just like any one of them, but you're not.
Right. I would actually offer up the alternative, and this is kind of touching on a conversation you and I had privately on Friday night, Jason. But I would offer up the alternative that once you actually stepped outside and disengaged from that system, the strongest stance would be to just really not want anything to do with it anymore at all. It wouldn't be to try to tear it down. It would just be, you know, fuck it. I'm doing my thing over here. That doesn't matter to me.
Right. I would say that would also be a fair way to deal with it. If you can put enough distance between yourself and your enemy by choice, so not fleeing from an enemy, it's not running from an enemy. You're just like, you know what? That person has no relevance to me anymore. So there's going to be so much distance between me and them that even if they had a thought about me, they're not going to find me. And I'll be so busy with my life over here, I'm not going to have to deal with them. But I think Daryl had actually made this point in a show that we talked about, and I don't know if it was a chat room or what have you. You can, if you do that, you have to always be prepared for the day that your enemy comes over the hill. You know, he's found you, or he's grown to the point where he's now at your doorstep. And you can either wait for that day for them to come over the hill, or you can take the initiative and make sure that you never have to worry about that enemy.
I have one issue with that, and that's absolutely correct, depending on how you define that life that you would like to have, pertaining to the fact that these governments have currently made a claim to owning everything, all the land, all the sky, all the ocean is in their possession, so to speak. So if that independent life involved maintaining your own nation or your own country or even your own state, you don't have to worry about them coming over the hill. They've already claimed that hill. That's the only issue I have with that.
Right. And I know I'm kind of going back and forth here. I'm playing the devil's advocate both ways. But there are cultures within our society right now who exist separately and distinctly from the larger culture. There are groups of people right now who have successfully disengaged from what the rest of us are doing and about their business. There's some harsh choices you have to make, and there's always that limitation. It'd be like if it were a actual geographical area, well, there's that border that you will never cross that border, because crossing that border means engaging in their rules and becoming part of their, you know, being beholden to their system and way of doing things. Well, it's, instead of having a geographical border, it's a philosophical border that you never cross. It's a social border that you never cross. The Amish are a fair example of that, I think. But there are other cultures that are less extreme, gypsy culture, the biker culture, that kind of thing. It's out there, so it is possible. But again, it's just the day that the government decides that they're not going to put up, or they're not going to tolerate the Amish anymore. Well, then the Amish are pretty much fucked, because the government will step in, and like you said, man, they own everything, or they believe that they have a claim to everything, in their territory, including your land, your homes, your property, and you.
Right. Well, I mean, I would agree with that and go on to say that the only reason that those subcultures are tolerated is because they don't pose a threat whatsoever. I assure you, if the Amish started stockpiling guns and grenades, they would put a stop to it right away. They're not going to allow you to become a threat to them.
Right, right. Well, I agree. For those cultures to survive, they either have to be so small as to not represent a threat, or the ideology has to be such that the threat doesn't exist.
Right.
So,
all right, we got a caller on the line, guys.
Cool.
All right, 720, you're on the air.
Great show. I've never ran across this show before, but it sounds like there's some intelligent discussions taking place. As for like the subcultures and stuff, I would agree that there's lots of different groups that kind of opt out and stuff in different movements, but since they have no real power, the government just allows them to be. But the moment that they have any power or influence, or they can start attracting others, then you'll see them sway that monopoly of violence against them.
Right on. I think we're getting a little bit shuffled around. So thank you very much for the compliment. What do you think is going to be the ending result of the Occupied movement as it is right now?
I think, I don't know. I've been down to the local one in my area quite a few times and interviewed people and talked to them and had a lot of conversations there. And it seems to me like they're slowly being co-opted by various, progressive movements and stuff, just as I watched the Tea Party get co-opted by the GOP and just be a representative for a representation for the GOP. So I know those people are strongly resisting that, but at the same time, it seems like within the ranks of their leadership, a lot of people have sold out, at least in the local ones here.
Right on. Jason, you there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah, and I agree with that. That could be that would be the end of the Occupy movement in my mind. It wouldn't go away. But one day, it could go both ways, I guess. You could see an explosion, the thing we've been talking about. You could also see, the Occupy movement have corporate sponsorship. That could be the other direction they're going in. And you've got these companies, you've got these celebrities and everything else that are coming down there, and they're adding their trademark to the discussion. You've got companies who are making sure that they have pizza and water and whatever they need. I think I heard about some technology company coming down there, and they're making sure everybody had, tablets or whatever that they could use and stuff like that. So it's going that way, but it comes back to the same thing we're talking about. When you're fighting the system by being engaged in that system, well, you can't fight against yourself, basically.
The only two uses, I think, right now for Occupy Wall Street, the only things useful about it are, you know, you have some people coming down there to these various occupation movements, and they're exchanging ideas and communicating, which is good. But they don't need to do that in a park or anything. I mean, they could do that anywhere, you know, go to a library or anything and have meetings, and that might be more effective because some of the riffraff might not be there distracting them. The other purpose is that they're showing, like, a kind of visual of that, you know, more and more people are upset and stuff. But in the Denver area, it seems like they've been there long enough, and they're going marching down some busy streets and stuff, you know, weekly and routinely, and people have started ignoring them anyways. So it seems that those are, like, the two useful things. I think that would be much more useful if they actually were more disobedient and, for instance, occupied, you know, the state buildings, state house buildings and stuff like that, and stopped state houses from doing their business and things of that nature, I think would be more effective. But it looks like the people that are involved in the movement aren't ready to up the ante to anything like that. So that to me is, like, the only things I can pick out and say, well, this is a positive thing, or this is useful, you know.
What do you think it would take to get people to up the ante and do something more transgressive like that?
Well, here, you know, when I went earlier on to some of the demonstrations and stuff, there are quite a few more fringe people, anarchists and stuff, and they came with gas masks, and they were like the kind of guys that you would need to do something like that. And I think that they lost their patience with the group, with all the bureaucracy and having these useful or these useless, like, general assemblies when they're talking about nonsense for 4 hours and stuff, and obeying the police and all these kinds of things. So I think you need people like that have experience with, like, hardcore activism, people that don't recognize the authority of the police, people that don't recognize the authority of the state, to come in and sort of, you know, have the balls to do things that these obedient people won't do. So I don't know that, it, you know, you may have it, like, you know, in some factions out there, I'm sure. You just, like, every Tea Party is, like, not the same, and every demonstration is not the same. But here locally, I saw that's what happened, and I've talked to other people across the country, and they've you know, had similar concerns and stuff. So I think to up the ante, you need people like that that actually get this stuff. Even at the demonstrations, I talk to people, and, you know, nobody wants to point the finger at the state, you know, and that's a huge problem with the Occupy movement, is they don't want to point the finger at the state. A few of them do, but they're I don't really think they represent the ideas of the collective.
Right. Just out of curiosity, I guess, looking for a little background, what is it that you do? You mentioned interviewing, I guess, in some of the earlier Occupied visits you've done.
Yeah, well, I've been building a bunch of footage for a documentary, and I want to do a compare and contrast on the Tea Party, and then ask critical questions of both movements and sort of, you know, see if there's common ground there. And I know that there is some common ground, but I think that both movements are kind of missing some of the bigger pictures. Like, you know, it's the state doing this stuff. It's, you know, collusion between state and government. And the Occupy guys seem to understand some of that, but they don't blame the politicians for whoring themselves out to begin with. You know, they just blame the corporations for taking advantage of the politician being for sale, you know. So I think there's a lot of greater problems that need to be discussed and explored, and I don't really feel that, like, either movement's really done a good job of that. You know, you have people protesting banks, and yet they're not protesting the Federal Reserve, really, you know. And a lot of them don't understand the problem with the Federal Reserve. There's a lot of sentiment against free markets, for instance, in the Occupy Wall Street movement. And then there's this, you know, defense of free markets, you know, within, like, the Tea Party movement. But yet both are completely impossible with government-controlled and manipulated currency, with, you know, institutions like the Federal Reserve. It's you can't have a free market to begin with, you know. So there's fundamental problems, I think, and it seems, you know, I talked to a few guys at the Occupy movement and a few guys at Tea Party a few years back, and they they understood, you know, basic economics and stuff and how some of this stuff works. But for the most part, it just seems like there's a lot of low information activists, low information voters that are attending these movements.
Right. I guess I'm going to ask the hard question. Do you can you think of any one fix that's going to satisfy the current dissatisfaction of the nation?
Wow. Yeah, that's a tough thing. I mean, I think that anybody that's been involved in politics and looks at this stuff, I think that, you know, they want that one fix or something. And from my assessment and what's wrong with the system and things, I've, you know, started out as kind of a socialist Democrat and then became a conservative Republican and eventually libertarian. And today I'm more of a free market anarchist. But I really believe that the education system is one of the, you know, most valuable tools of the state that they use to propagandize and they use to manipulate and plant ideas into people's heads. And I think that this secondary problem is manipulated markets. And I think that if those two things can be removed, then some progress can be made. But I've come to the conclusion that pretty much every system on this planet is either a pseudo-capitalistic country or a pseudo-socialist or communistic country. And those are the two versions of state. And the more I look at that, the more I realize that it's just a spectrum of the same. You know, the capitalistic side is really the growth cycle when people are growing economies and creating wealth, and then the socialist or communistic side is when people are harvesting that wealth, and it's actually the same system. So I think, I know it sounds radical, but I've come to the conclusion that perhaps we should have society without a, you know, a strong state or without any state.
Well, I would actually agree with that entirely, so I don't know how radical that sounds. My position has been that we just, as human beings, don't have the ability to exist in these mass socialized structures like we're trying to build, that we're, in fact, pack animals more than anything. And to try to exist beyond, a certain parameter demographically is always going to end in this kind of implosion.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, I used to come from the angle of sort of a minarchist approach, you know, as a libertarian, that if we just keep government to a minimum, then we'll be okay. But that's just a half measure, and you end up basically creating a huge amount of wealth, which will grow the state, and you'll end up, you know, where we're at today. So if you're going to go through the trouble of fixing the problem, you need to fix it for good, or at least try to fix it for good. And I think that the presence of a state is the problem. I don't. I understand the perspective that maybe just people are, you know, not capable of working in these larger groups. But I think it would be worth a try to you know, try just complete voluntarism and let people, you know, associate voluntarily with one another, cooperatively work together under their own terms, rather than trying to, you know, have people pointing guns at them and telling them how they're to be conducting their business.
Sounds absolutely reasonable. Well, I appreciate your call in, and that's pretty much all the questioning I had for you. I don't know if Jason or Daryl's got anything, but...
No, man. I like the idea that you presented, that the communism and capitalism really the two extremes of the same spectrum. So, yeah, that absolutely makes sense. I'm an advocate of trying to find an alternative. Whether it's, you know, participatory economics or what have you, where we kind of get away from the buy sell or labor for, you know, provisions from the state, which, you know, whichever way, trying to get away from that entirely. So yeah, man, good call.
Well, I appreciate the feedback. I'll just listen in.
Sounds right good. On. Thank you, sir. All right. Awesome. I always like it when we get a good caller. I mean, when you contrast him with the one we had earlier, it's night and day, man, and it definitely supports my theory that there's already been a genetic evolution, and it hasn't gone in an upward fashion.
Well, we got about 40 minutes left. I wanted to roll our one commercial, and I plan on this I plan on adding another commercial here by the end of the week. I'm going to roll our one commercial when we just got done talking about capitalism and what have you. And then I want to kind of talk about something real quick related to the commercial, something I've been kicking around, get some feedback from some folks. So let me go ahead and do that.
Creative Oddity Studios. Creative Oddity Studios. Stickers, T-shirts, skateboard decks, lighters, prints, posters, and many other fine pieces of merchandise. It's some of the best damn artwork you'll find on the internet. The creative assault and meandering of Jason Sorrell, T.C. Downey, and Vanessa Lee. Coleman! What is best in life?
To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to visit Creative Oddities Studios.
Bondage art, digital manipulation, erotica, demon girls, fantasy, tattoo art, horror, occult, and we dare to call it artwork.
It's like candy, but for your eyes!
Check out our very popular books on the occult and Satanism, now available in hard copy and downloadable format.
Hoo-wah!
Check out our blogs on art, tattoo work, what life is like as a tattoo artist, social issues, philosophy, lowbrow culture in Austin, Texas, and eminentmind.info. You'll enjoy them.
If you can read!
Creative Oddities Studios, www.creativeoddities.com.
I like the naked girls.
Creative Oddities Studios.
all right. So, here's that's obviously our commercial, Creative Oddities Studios, where TC and I put up a bunch of our artwork and everything. This is a thought that I've been kicking around for the last couple of weeks, and I'm thinking about actually implementing this. For a long time now, if you got a hold of me, if you were in a band and needed artwork for a CD cover, or if you were putting together a magazine or a book and needed artwork for a book cover or what have you, I typically would allow you to use my artwork for free. But I had been, at least a year ago, maybe even less than a year ago, I was a big proponent of intellectual copyright, where, if you create something, it's yours. And nobody should have the right to, to just use your shit, just give it away or whatever. And I've been, especially with these conversations we've been having, I've been kind of rethinking that position. So, at Creative Eye Studios, obviously, we sell stickers and prints and different stuff like that. But most of my income as far as that kind of thing comes from, commissioned artwork, whether it's tattoo designs or what have you. So people are paying me to make artwork. They still, the merchandise gets sold. People buy that stuff, too. But my thinking is most of the stuff that I sell on the site is stuff that I drew for myself. It's artwork that I created just because I wanted to create it, just because I wanted to do it. And I'm wondering if I'm really benefiting or if I'm really achieving what I want to achieve as an artist by restricting the availability of those images, of that artwork. So the thing I'm considering is basically making the artwork, at least my artwork on that site, open to anybody who wants to use it. Anybody who has a website, and there are a lot of people who have websites who will pull some of my artwork and they'll use it as part of the graphics on their site. But making it known that you can do so now without fear of any kind of reprisal. I'm not going to come down on you. I'm not going to sick the hounds on you or anything like that. If I find you using my artwork, that I'd rather people see the work, and I want to take it as a compliment if you use the artwork rather than get all uptight about it and try to make it secure. I don't necessarily want people to try to, generate a profit, because if I'm giving it away for free, well, then nobody else should be selling it. And I'm not going to stop selling stickers and shit like that with the artwork on it. But as far as the digital images are concerned, especially if you're doing something like, books and CDs and stuff like that, if you're going to use the artwork, it'd be cool if I knew about it so I could help promote the idea that you're using the artwork and you're out there. But I wanted to know what, especially UTC, what your thought would be on that, where not necessarily your artwork, because that's, you know, that's yours and it's up to you, but, you know, the idea of me finally thinking, hey, I'm going to go ahead and just let people use it. And there's a comment in the chat room. Morgan mentioned, just make sure someone isn't reselling it. Well, you know what? I have no guarantees right now that somebody's not taking my artwork and reselling it. I know that some of my books that I've written are actually being resold and stuff like that. And I don't know if I'm too heartbroken about that, man. I don't know if I don't know if I should have a lot of heartburn about that. I would prefer that I don't go to Hot Topic one day and see my artwork on a bunch of T-shirts and I'm not getting a piece of that. But I can deal with that. If that comes, if that were actually to happen, I have ways to deal with that. I've got, you know, I've got my files and everything else. I can make sure that I can make my claim. The big thing for me would be that somebody would take a piece of my artwork and try to say or try to promote themselves as the original artist of that work. And but again, even that, even when I came to that bridge, I know how to handle that because again, I've got the original work, I've got the original files, so it'd be pretty easy to if I needed to put a stop to that to do it. And they're actually, like on DeviantArt, they're actually whole communities of people who, that's what they do. They go out of their way to track down these people who claim to be artists and claim to be, you know, presenting their original work, who are in fact copying work from other people. So I guess I've gotten to a point in my head where it's not that big a deal to me anymore, and I would rather just have the artwork out there, you know, flowing through the system, being proliferated by as many people as possible, than just, you know, restricted on my website.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and chime in here, say, man, absolutely. And as far as my artwork goes, there's a reason I don't put any kind of, like, watermarking on it or any kind of, you know, real signature on them. Although I have thought in terms, like you're saying, of someone else claiming that they've done it, and I've thought about figuring out a way to actually integrate some kind of a logo into the image itself that for them to remove it would really just fuck up the whole picture. I think that would be the way that I would go about it. But as far as people, you know, just taking your artwork and using it, I'd say imitation is the highest form of flattery that I can think of.
Right. Well, it does more than that also. I've had a lot of conversations with people trying to determine the finer points of copyright versus intellectual property. But I think you got a good idea there, Jason. And inadvertently, it's nobody seems to be mentioning it. But if you have any desire whatsoever to live outside of the current state of the monetary system, to simply avoid it in practice is an example of how others could do just the same. Now, I'm like you. I don't want to write a song or, you know, post a thought and then somebody else say, hey, look what I did, and they're just selling my shit. That would piss me off too. But as far as like avoiding that aspect of the system, it shows that you can. You're demonstrating a how-to, so to speak.
Right. Well, I guess that's part of my thinking. I would rather have people going, I found some badass artwork on this website and I'm using it on my website or my blog or whatever. And that's a compliment, man. Or if it were a song, like you're saying, you write a song. Well, if you hear somebody else singing it, you know, at a club or whatever, I would say, you know, that's a compliment. That's huge. Especially if you put it out there that, hey, you can use this. So if they really appreciate what you're doing, if they really appreciate what you got going on, you know, maybe they'll mention that, hey, I saw this here, or I heard this here, and really liked it, which is why and the guy, you know, says, use it, you know. So, and it's exactly that kind of thing. You know, how can I sit there and say, I want to be disengaged from this system, I want to, you know, be away from it, when, you know, I'm so tied up on, you know, copyright and, you know, how things get, you know, how my artwork gets used. But the big thing for me as an artist is communicating, is putting that work out there for people to see. So I don't think – I think that taking steps to restrict how my work can be seen is – it kind of goes against that whole ideology. Now, what's funny – and I don't think he's actually listening to the show this evening, but there are some folks who, whenever TC or I or anybody else seem to have these kind of changes in our ideology, these evolutionary moments where we're actually going to try to go in a different direction and reverse ourselves or about our thinking or about the statements we made before, they consider it basically, you don't know what this guy's going to be about. One day he's this, one day he's that. Rather than it being a process. I just wanted to put it out there that I think this, coming to this conclusion for me, has been part of this process that has kind of developed here on the Ooze and in Eminent Mind and what have you, where yeah, I think it's just, it's just the right thing to do in my mind as far as myself as an artist to make the artwork available. If I'm going to call myself an artist, well, then I shouldn't focus on the business aspect of it. If I'm focused on the business aspect of it, well, I'm just a businessman then.
Right, you're a businessman who can draw.
right.
Yeah, I'm down with that, man. I mean, I think the whole idea of artwork for me is an expression of your, whatever your inner thoughts are, whatever it is that you're trying to capture in that moment. And it's more important to relay that to somebody else in my mind than it is to make any kind of monetary gain for it. Now, don't get me wrong, if somebody wants to pay me to do some photoshopping or to paint a picture or whatever it is, I'm down. But that in myself wouldn't be something that would ever arrive on the internet anyways, unless the person who paid for it put it up there.
Right. That's the way I am too, man. My talents are still available for hire. Right. But if I'm drawing something for myself for fun, and I post it on the internet because I want people to see it, well, then, let them have at it. Fuck it, man. It's the internet. That's the other thing. It's that, it's impossible to, to prevent the free use of shit. If it's on the net, if you make it available, available for it to be seen on the public, well, then you're making it available to be used on the public. But, yeah, I see some comments here that somebody's being sued by Marvel and DC over his original comic book. That shit happens. So, yeah, as long as I'm not – I don't want to violate somebody else's intellectual copyright either. Just because I elect to, do something, with my artwork, I'm not going to start, thinking that I have now the right to use somebody else's stuff. But I'm sure that's not the situation that's being described in the chat room right now. But as far as covering my ass, I just think I won't make those choices, and that will just avoid the whole situation.
Right. Let me ask you. Go ahead.
Oh, you go ahead, Daryl.
And this isn't an accusation towards anybody. It's like I'm kind of questioning myself as well. What are your thoughts on – is that hypocritical to say I would like to do this according to Creative Commons or what have you? I'm not doing this for money. I just want to express this piece of art or this song or this whatever. And then if you put it out there for free and other people sell it and they're making a profit and you're like, hey, wait, that kind of would insist that you are kind of it's like you're kind of saying I'm only disregarding the monetary aspect as long as no one else can get that profit. Now, if you're worried about them getting a profit, isn't that inadvertently still being worried about the monetary process? What are your thoughts on that?
I guess if I'm putting something out there and making it available for free, and then somebody else is turning around and taking what I've done and they're selling it, first of all, my first instinct is when I approach those people, I'm going to ask them, what they're doing, right? How do they come about this? Are they making a profit? Is it working, right? But then my other thing that would be they're taking advantage of their customers in a manner that's unfair, because their customers simply aren't aware that what they're selling they can get for free. So I guess that would be my issue, that they're impeding my ability to get my artwork out there by offering it for sale. But I can see what you're saying. Just I guess the question I would have is that, you know, if you're not going to sell what the product you're producing, why should somebody else be able to sell it, one, and then two, if they're able to make money from it, shouldn't you be entitled to a part of that since it was your labor that actually produced that product?
Well, I mean, as far as that goes, I would be entitled to all of it. Because, as you said, it's my labor. But my biggest issue would be intellectual representation. I would, you know, if somebody made $1 million off of something that I did, you know, I'd be pissed. But I question why that is in myself if I gave it away for free. But the biggest issue would be if they claimed it was their intellectual property. That would piss me off much more.
And that would be the issue for me.
I think I would come at it from the perspective of if it was something that I had chosen to offer up for free. I put it up there for free with the intent that everybody would be able to enjoy it without it coming to any kind of monetary cost. And so the very principles that I put it out there for free by are what are now being violated by somebody who's making a profit. So I would have a complete issue with it. I put it up there so that everybody could enjoy it. It's like rolling a big fat joint up and everybody in the room sitting around and you take a puff and you pass it to the next guy. He takes a puff and he passes it to the next guy. He takes a puff and he looks at the next guy and he says, "This puff's going to cost you $5. Well, that's obviously not why you lit that joint in the first place.
Right. And that's my thinking there. It would violate whatever agreement I had with the public. If I said, I'm putting this out as an artist, well, if somebody turns around and I want people to have it available to them for free, well, then it besmirches my integrity as an artist, you know, making that effort if somebody else turns around and, you know, sells the shit. So it wouldn't be a matter of going after them and going, "Hey, you owe me money." For me, it'd be a matter of going after them and going, "Hey, you can't sell that because I'm giving it away."
Right, and then I would go after all the profits just to give them back to the people that actually paid for the shit, just to be a complete ass.
Right on. Well, I like that definition or that expression that it would be a violation of your choice to give it away, which directly ties back into the whole intellectual property thing, as far as I'm concerned.
Fair enough. So, Jason, you can count me in if that's the way that you decide to go with it. I gave you pretty much free rein with any of my artwork that I put on the internet to do with as you decide to do with. You know, it's your call, dude. I'm down for it.
Well, we're still going to be producing prints and stickers and all that stuff. We're still going to be merchandising the work. But then, yeah, if somebody wants the digital files, things like that, if somebody wants that, I figure, you know, why the hell not? That's where I'm at right now.
Cool. I'm with it, man.
Right on.
I'm with it. I mean, I obviously don't see a big like demand for the freaky shit that I come up with, but you know, you never know. Might become a fad in a decade or something.
I was gonna say when you said that the artwork is like it's an expression of our internal landscape or internal mentality. Well, we're a couple of sick fucks there.
That we are. Yeah, we are. So, with all that being said and done, I guess I should make mention that I'm getting to a point now where I'm thinking about offering up original paintings for sale. I kind of talked to you about this a little bit ago, but my idea is more, you know, I want to do particular pieces. I want someone to come to me with an idea and say, "Hey, you know, I'd like this, and all I can afford is, I don't know, $50. Can you do it? You know, that's I'm wanting to kind of push myself as an artist. One of the things with this drawing that I had to do for my meeting tomorrow was that I had to kind of step away from anything that I would normally have done and just try to think of something that would be cool for me to do and make interesting for me, but ultimately on the surface level just very lame in terms of concept.
Right on. And so, yeah, it just, you know, somebody wanted work and everything else. It basically, you're being commissioned, but commissioned to do, you know, whatever somebody wants at whatever rate they can pay, as long as they were able to work out some agreement with you.
Right. Well, obviously, they would have to make sure that what they're willing to pay would cover the materials that I would be using. But
sure.
Beyond that, any kind of actual profit would be at their discretion.
Right on.
I mean, again, it's more for getting my artwork out there, especially given what I'm intending to do in my career coming up. I think it would be a big help if people can, like, go, oh, wait a minute, who's the guy who did this drawing or this painting? And then they say, oh, it's T.C. Downey, and he actually tattoos here locally.
Right. And, I mean, when we look at a lot of the artists, Van Gogh comes to mind. And I'm not even making the attempt to compare any of my artwork to Van Gogh. Although one could argue one way or the other, you know, how great an artist Van Gogh was. But the guy never sold a piece of artwork in his lifetime. But what he did do is he did the artwork as an expression of, you know, what it was he was doing. He was an artist. And then he gave the work away. He gave it to whoever wanted it, basically. Which I think is more true to the idea of being an artist than, you know, trying to sell it. Now you turn around and look at, I'm trying to remember who this guy's name, Dutch, he's a Dutch painter, Rembrandt, you know, Rembrandt, who became rich and went broke selling artwork, you know, so it could go either way. But yeah, I think the idea of, you know, if you're an artist, you make the artwork regardless of whether or not there's a profit to be made in the process or not. It's what you do. It's you're driven to do so. So I guess I'm just getting away from the whole profit motive mentality in my mind.
Right. And I mean, given as long as I've known you, that has been up until the past year or so anyways, that has been like one of the, you know, top three priorities of Jason Sorrell.
Yeah, I fuck it, man. I came on the internet with the idea that I'm going to sell some shit, you know. That was it, you know. Participating in Yahoo groups and everything is an effort to, you know, hey, I got this. Here's my thoughts on whatever it is you're talking about. And by the way, here's a link to my website. So, yeah. Yeah, the internet's biggest whore.
Yes. You're just selling something different now, buddy.
Right. Jeez.
Oh, shit. So we got about 15 minutes left. I thought I'd throw in that call-in number again. It's 347-989-1371. We have been talking about the Occupied movement. We've been talking about artwork, and now I don't know what the fuck we're going to be talking about, but yeah, if you got
talk
any thoughts, call in. Yeah. The ooze.
Talk about the ooze. Yeah.
What do you got in mind?
Well, we got 15 minutes left. As everybody knows who's participating in this, you know, the show, listening to the chat room and what have you, we've got a number of different shows going right now. We got the Sunday show, the Outbreak show, where it's a two-hour strategy session, basically. And next weekend, I'm not sure exactly what we're going to be talking about next weekend. I think I want to carry on this conversation. I really want to explore the idea of transgressionism. And I'm really, you know, it's just a topic that's like, man, I want to dig into that, but I don't even know necessarily where to begin to dig into it. You know, how far can you go in a public venue when you're talking about transgressing? So I thought maybe that would be something we would talk about. The Tuesday night show, the Loomis edition. Next Tuesday, we're going to be talking about, we're getting ready for Veterans Day on the 11th. We're going to be talking about the military. And as I mentioned, I'm a former soldier, former, you know, U.S. Army. And what's going on with the military right now, how the military is being used, the way it's been used in the past, and just our opinions. It'll be Rod Biohazard and myself discussing our opinions about the current state of the military and things like that. And then, is it Wednesday or Thursday?
It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday night.
Okay. And I don't have the show list up in front of me. I just know those two. So what's the Wednesday night show?
Wednesday night is the Praxis edition, where we're actually talking about transgressing. I mean, it's more of kind of a comparative study between the sinister ideology and Gurdjieff's fourth way, so to speak. But this week in particular, we'll be discussing use of sexuality and outside of actually sexual use, but the different ways that you can actually use your sexuality to your advantage. So that should hopefully be a really interesting show, because I know there are different tricks of the trade, so to speak, that can be pulled by either gender to move things one way or the other, and actually shake the tree, so to speak. So
right on. And then, of course, we got our show Friday. The Friday night show, you got Wicked Pup, Female Satan, Orgasmic, Chromatic, and I think Rotten Biohazard actually is a regular on that as well. That show is, they're calling it, is it Occupy? Is it Occupy U's show? Yeah, Occupy FU's.
Yeah, it's the U's Occupied edition, yeah.
And these guys seem to have their nose on the ground, basically, where all this is going on. They're really engaged in their local political scene. They have a lot of opinions, and it's an hour of just a very fast hour of ideas being shot back and forth and different discussions and everything else. So recommend that. And then the Saturday show.
Yeah, the Saturday show. Go ahead.
Primus Mono. And that's more akin to where you started as far as the subject matter, more dealing with theology and the occult and philosophy. Do you know, guys, what you're doing this Saturday coming up?
Yeah, Lehi and I will actually be continuing into our study of Julius Evola's Yoga of Power. And, I mean, that shows just, I mean, some people might call it a book study or whatever, but at this point, it's really just kind of been exploring the origins of the left-hand path ideology. This particular author, Julius Evola, he was very well-read and very well-studied, but he was modern enough to be able to understand that it was necessary to make comparisons between what was formed in the ancient Eastern traditions and what arose in the Western traditions. So,
right on. And as I was going through the list to try to figure, the shows we're doing and everything else, we got a few of them, obviously. I went over to the Ooze radio at WordPress.com, and I'm plugging a link into the chat room right now for folks who want to check that out. This is a place where what we're trying to do, of course, is we're trying to, first of all, have a synopsis of the conversations we're having, the different topics we'll be discussing. So if you want to get involved in a discussion on a particular topic before we actually have the show, you can actually see what we're talking about at that blog, and then kind of comment on it, And that can kind of help drive the direction we go in during the actual shows, during the hours that we're on. So definitely check that out. And, of course, this is all, you know, we also, you know, this whole process, especially the Take Action episode on Sundays, is supported by eminentmind.info, which I'll plug that link into the in the chat room right now as well. Eminentmind.info is where TC, myself, and others kind of discuss the whole philosophical process that we're engaged in as far as this whole breaking away from the system, thinking differently. And it, I'll be writing some more here shortly to include in that blog. Let me pull that up real quick. Because I know that the TC recently wrote something that I saw, man, that has gotten a lot of comments, man. A lot of people are discussing that with you. And it's, I, of course, typed in the wrong URL. Bear with me a moment. I guess I could have just clicked on the URL in the chat room, but we got 10 minutes to fill, so I'm gonna fuck around. All right. The belief paradox, the contrast of knowledge. It definitely a worthwhile read. And this is something that we've actually kind of run into on a number of times, talking about, you know, the difference between information and having you know, convictions or you know tested experiences versus having beliefs and having faith, and which one, you know, which is more relevant. And we seem to lean towards the idea that I'd rather have a an experience that I've tested. I'd rather have knowledge that was produced by excuse me, coming up with a theory and then going out and experiencing whether that theory was correct versus an assumption either based on what I want to believe or what somebody told me that I should believe and operating under that assumption. And yeah, like I said, there's a lot of people that actually we've got 11 comments on it so far. And it's, you know, the comments themselves are also good reading. People in the comments, they usually just don't go, you know, oh, hey, I liked your blog. You know, it's usually they want to argue with you. They want to make sure they add their two cents in or what have you. So, I mean, there's a couple people that commented that might as well have been written a blog themselves.
Right.
So definitely check that out. And I kind of wanted to mention, as we're wrapping this bit up, the last quarter hour here, all these different things we're doing with the ooze, there's other things coming down the pipe, and I don't want to go into what those things are yet because we still have to see if they coalesce or they solidify. But the ooze is expanding. It's always expanding. It's always growing. But the whole – we do these shows. We're able to do all these different time slots and, you know, do one-hour and two-hour shows basically because – we're paying for this thing out of pocket. So this isn't the PBS moment where we ask people to, you know, call in and donate and get themselves a little coffee mug or whatever. But come December, we basically pay for the end through the end of the year by making sure that I sold a bunch of shit and auctioned off a bunch of shit, and that's how I wanted to pay for the ooze. Just to make sure, because I just didn't want to do it straight out of pocket. I thought, you know, well, you know, this is the way I want to go about doing it. We'll be looking for other ways come January to elicit support, if I can put it that way, to help support and fund the ooze. So hopefully people who are listening to the show on a regular basis or really dig what we're doing, when we put it out there that you have the option, whether it's a donate button or what have you, to help support what we're doing, that you go ahead and do that. In the meantime, you know, TC and I will continue to pay for it out of pocket. I know we've actually gotten some kudos kind of on that from odd corners of the internet, that despite, you know, their disagreements, people's disagreements with our opinions or whatever, the one thing they can say that about us that we're doing right is that we're putting our money where our mouth is, you know, that we actually are invested in this. The figures they have are completely wrong, but that, you know, we're making this happen ourselves. You know, we're budgeting, we're actually financing this thing and bankrolling these things, and, you know, at our own costs. But we're always willing to let somebody help offset that cost. But the other way to kind of participate, of course, calling into the shows, listening to the shows, telling people about the shows. I know we have a Facebook page too, so find us on Facebook. The more support we have, the more people we have listening, the better the show gets, the bigger it gets, things like that. So, and we want to get what we're saying out to as many people as possible because, you know, we think we're interesting people, I guess. So, yeah, that's my bit on that.
Right on. I did kind of want to say that I believe the Ooze's Facebook page is facebook.com, the Ooze 666, if I remember correctly. I'm going to double check the link right now to make sure that's right. But at the very least, people could add us there and, you know, click the like on that page or whatever. But I think the best way to support this venture is to call in and participate in the discussion. Help us to, you know, get a real conversation kind of flowing instead of just us standing on our soapboxes, you know, talking out of our asses about what we think, you know, would be a better way to go. I mean, I definitely find myself to be, I don't know, better stimulated when I have contrasting opinions to pick from. And it makes it so that it's a little easier for me to formulate what decisions I make are right. So,
that's kind of where I was going when I kind of meandered off there. I think it would be a bigger thing for me rather than having a donate button and having somebody throw down, you know, a couple of dollars or whatever to help pay for the show. If they got onto those blogs and posted their comments, if they actually, you know, shared their thoughts with us. The Take Action show that we do on Outbreak every Sunday, we really intend for this to be a strategy session. We really intend for people to call in. We want to hear your ideas. We want to hear your take on things. And you want to see, you know, what we got that might be working or might not be working. And we're always looking for other opinions and other ideas because, you know, I know I haven't tried it all out yet, man. I need to, you know, I want more information. I want to try things out as well to try to find the best possible way for me to accomplish my goals. So it's a conversation. That's what we want. That's the most important thing. I mean, this is infotainment. We're putting out the information and everything, but we would much rather have a conversation with a bunch of, you know, very intelligent and very together people. And the majority of the people that do call in, we appreciate you all the time. That's what we have, our, you know, callers and an audience that is really, really sharp. So, you know, every time we do the show, if I walk away and I've learned something, then, you know, I know that I've gotten my money's worth, basically.
Right on. With all that being said and done, man, I don't think there's any reason to keep going. We can roll the outro and get you some NyQuil. All right, well, looks like Jason fell off just in time, so here we go.
Good show, guys.